You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Athletic.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is showtime. Please welcome the team of the Fulhamish podcast.
It's the Fulhamish podcast, your independent voice of Fulham FC. My name's Sammy James and welcome to the show, brought to you by The Athletic UK. And it is here, the final podcast of the season. We'll be wrapping up everything from 21-22, all the loose ends in promotion and relegation. Plus, there is plenty of FFC news to get into. Contracts expiring, players leaving, deals off, players for sale, and Marco Silva winning awards. Plus, it is the chart of This'll Catch On, the top five submissions from the year, as voted by our audience. Cannot wait to get into that. And it is the regular Thursday Club, recording at a completely the wrong day of the week, but who cares anymore? Peter Rutzer from The Athletic UK, hello.
Hi, Sammy, how you doing? It does feel weird to be recording on a Monday. It's completely thrown off my plans for the week. But yeah,
I know, but Jack's going on holiday. You were going away. It needs must. Jack Collins, hello.
Hello, listeners. Hello, Sammy. Hello, Pia. It's good to be here on a Monday. I'm quite happy for it. I completely agree. But like, for me, you know when like people say, oh, you go on holiday and you lose track of the days? This is what happens to me in the off season. Mm. Like, as soon as I don't have like football to work around as a kind of a standardized format, I start to lose, because I obviously, and you know this, Peter, as much as anyone else, but like the kind of rhythms of your week don't work to the same 9-to-5 beat as most people's. It's kind of like you build up to a weekend and you work the weekend, and then they kind of fall out from the week. Your Monday becomes your Thursday. The Wednesdays often are the kind of like calm days, as long as it's not midweekers. And then you kind of build back up to the weekend again. So like, as soon as I lose that structure, every day just becomes a bit chaotic. So I am looking forward to going away and just having a breather.
Where are you going on holiday?
I'm going to Rhodes for 10 days. I was saying to you know, the lads, this is my first holiday since 28. Like, obviously you get to go away for work and go away for games and weekends and whatever, and it's great and I love it and I wouldn't change it for the world. It's the first holiday for more than like 4 days at a time since 2018, so I'm quite excited about it.
Are you going to watch any football?
Oh yeah, of course.
Come on.
Look, there's the Finalissima. There's obviously the starts of the playoffs for the World Cup.
Oh yeah, to be fair.
There's some pretty big things going on, but I am going to try and vaguely switch off for a little bit. I'm sort of not very good at relaxing. So I'll probably like be 2 days in and I'll be like drawing up Y-Scout templates of people that Fulham are linked with before too long. So I imagine you'll still hear from me.
Go get a beer.
I'll have a beer
on the Sun Lounger.
Don't worry, I'll do it with a beer on the Sun Lounger, but I'm still going to be there on the looking at kind of diagrams on 23's toolbox to find out if we're signing players that are any cop or not.
I've got a week away booked for the middle of June, and I just got told the other day by my partner, who sort of like, we'd chosen the place, and she sort of arranged it. It's like, oh, actually, yeah, it doesn't actually have any Wi-Fi, so there'll be a period next month where I'll just be out the loop, and you know that'll be the week where Fulham suddenly just announce everyone that they decided to sign for the summer.
Fulham are very rude with when they famously announce transfers, contract extensions. It's generally like 11:30 at night on a Saturday. I'm at some bar. I'm like, oh, what? So yeah, no doubt, Peter, they'll do the same to you. Right, then, some fallout from the rest of the season. That's what we wanted to come back specifically and do a podcast about, because the final kind of two places in the Premier League that were up for debate are now sorted. Leeds stayed up, Burnley went down, and then Nottingham Forest won the playoffs. Peter, it feels like the Romantics Premier League. It feels like what all the neutrals wanted. Leeds and Forest in the big time. I feel like it might take some of the attention away from Fulham going into next season, which I don't think is a bad thing.
No, that is one silver lining, and it does look like a really nice lineup. Like, it just, I know the weight and the history and all. It is, as you say, Sammy, it is a proper romantic lineup.
Sadly, Brentford are in there, slightly spoiling it in terms of history.
Sort of nostalgia, yeah.
Yeah.
He reigns neutral.
Carefully wobbling the line. It's nice having all of the English European champions in the top flight as well. Something we haven't had for a significant amount of time.
So that's a bit unfair on Ipswich, IMO.
Did they win the UEFA Cup?
Yeah.
Jack's pulling your leg there.
All right, mate. Bloody hell. Don't put me on the spot like that. You make me worried there. it's good in that sense. I think from if you want to put your Fulham hat on, not ideal.
Yeah.
I think of the possibilities, because when you have, obviously, like Forest, there's a pull factor there. There's a weight behind them that may just help them out. Same goes for Leeds. And, you know, it's Burnley going down, it's difficult to see. It's going to be very difficult for them next year. But if they had stayed up, you know, they're almost guaranteed to struggle next year. They may not have, but, you know, the way things are, the way they're set up, the way the club is at this point, that would have been the ideal outcome. And same with Huddersfield. You just don't think they're going to would have the same pull power. They don't have the same squad strength. And as much as Carlos Corberan's done a great job and there are good elements to it, it'll be difficult. But, you know, the Forest have a job to do when they come up. We'll probably talk about that a bit more. But they've got a few loanees in that team. That squad's going to need some reshaping, probably more so than Fulham and Bournemouth, you could argue. So, you know, something to take. But in terms of a lineup, looks good. I think from a Fulham perspective, it makes it a little trickier.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, Burnley going down, as I say, probably was the worst outcome for Fulham. Although Leeds under Jesse Marsh, I still don't think are out of the woods for next season. They are looking to make some quite big signings, but they potentially have a few big departures. Right now, you're looking at the bottom of the Premier League. And look, we'll do a proper pre-season predictions in August once we know all the facts and stuff. But who would you expect to be in the conversation rather than necessarily pin your colours to the wall now?
Well, obviously you look at the three promoted clubs and then you look at the sides who struggled this season. So you're looking at Leeds. I think you're looking at Everton again, if they keep Frank Lampard on, although I do think there will be investment. I still think that things aren't right at Everton behind the scenes and they continue to make silly decisions. And if that continues, then I'd imagine they might struggle again. I look at Southampton, who have had a desperate end to the season, didn't win in their last 12. And it just feels like it's gone a little bit stale for Southampton under Hasenhüttl. And, you know, we've seen things like that happen before. And it reminds me a little bit of the kind of Martin Jol era at Fulham, where we had that really bad run through the season before we got relegated towards the end. But it didn't matter because we had a good first half of the season and it was kind of by the by, but actually it turned out into a bit of a nightmare, obviously, in the season following. And I wonder if Southampton are going to be dragged into this. I think you have to look at Brentford. I don't think it's disrespectful to say they've had an amazing season. They've been incredibly impressive. But I do think, you know, second seasons are hard. Ask Sheffield United, who, you know, had that amazing first season in the Prem and then dropped into the relegation zone and never got out of it. They struggled as people started to work them out. And it's going to be a big test for Brentford to see if they can kick on next season. Now, look at their recruitment strategy. You think, yes, things are moving in the right direction for them. But ultimately, there's still a lot of weight of finances that weighs against them. And I think that might happen again. So I think that would be my early kind of gambits, is that the three promoted clubs, Everton, Leeds, Southampton and Brentford, you're looking at the seven. One of those will not be in the mix. Like, I guarantee, I don't know who it will be yet, but one of those teams won't be in the mix. And it just sort of then pans out as it will probably be a bottom six and you've got a scrap for every point. Now, look, I agree with you that Burnley staying up would have probably been the best for Fulham in terms of actual... you're playing against a team you think you can beat, but equally, if they'd stayed up, they would have been doing this again and they would have survived again. And that becomes a habit in so many ways. So there's an element of that to consider. And, you know, as we've kind of touched on the top, it does make for a very pleasant neutrals Premier League, not having Burnley in the mix, you know, purely because they're just not great team to watch playing football. So ultimately that's where I'm at the moment. I'd say seven down there, but obviously recruitment's going to play a massive part and we've got to see how that pans out.
Peter, just talking about Forest, I think particularly interesting from a Fulham point of view, because Steve Cooper did such an amazing job. And I think for me, he felt like the closest to the job. And if it hadn't have been Marco Silva, he clearly was angling for the move himself. I think he would have definitely been interested in the Fulham job had it been offered to him. Fulham had ambitions slightly higher than Steve Cooper, and it's all worked out brilliantly for us. So there's definitely no regret. Yeah, and it's worked out great for him too. I don't think there's any regrets on either side. But he did a remarkable job there. I know a lot's been made of they were bottom. I mean, they also were just 8 points off the playoffs as well. Like, it wasn't an impossible task he had, but still, to pick Forest up and the way he turned the team around into a real attacking force. And we saw them when they came to the Cottage. You know, they really are quite an impressive side. I mean, Brennan Johnson tore Tim Ream a new one, didn't he, that day? He had him on his arse several times. Several good players. But as you say, quite a lot of loans in there as well. There's a hell of a lot of work. And yes, the City ground will be a factor. They'll probably win their first two games of the season just on pure momentum. Nice. But like, there's a lot to be done there, like there is at Bournemouth and at Fulham this summer.
No, 100%. Yeah, you have to give credit to Steve Cooper, who, as you say, would have been on Fulham's radar. And, you know, Fulham always maintained that, you know, Marcus was their top choice. They wanted someone to really underline that they're taking a step up in management terms. But Cooper would have been in that picture. And I think when looking at the job he's done at Forest, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's, you know, in terms of points, you know, the gap to playoffs wasn't huge, but it's a big beast, Nottingham Forest. You know, when you enter a club in that sort of situation, like they have been, he's their 20th manager, I think, since the Premier League, Cooper. It can eat you up and spit you out really, really quickly. But he managed to have an impact straight away in terms of supporters with the group. You know, it's always been a big squad, but he's managed to get them all pulling in his direction, giving them an identity, as you talked about, and then managed to get them pretty much to the cusp of the automatics. And if you wonder if you start the season in charge, because it's, you know, you don't drop that many points when you get automatic promotion, then Forest would have been right up there, and it would have been a different challenge for Fulham and for Bournemouth. So yeah, he's done an incredible job. And this is sort of a more of an unknown coming into the Premier League for him as a manager, of course. We've seen what he can do in the Championship. He's got playoffs three times now, hasn't he, really? And then, of course, as you said, the squad's the other side to it. You know, it's there are some loans in there. You know, you look at Zinchenko, you look at Jed Spence. Obviously, there still will be some uncertainty about Brennan Johnson, but the fact they've gone up will be a massive boost for them. It's always the challenge when you're the playoff side. But it feels like, because of how they've been in the season, they have the strength for an automatic team. But it's just about filling those gaps. And, you know, they've got a back three set up. They're defensively quite tight. You know, their playing style generally was transition-based, wasn't it? You know, they're very much a counter-attacking team. You had a good threat on the break. So if they recruit well, then they could be set up quite nicely.
They remind me a lot of the Fulham team in 2018. You know, that was a team that probably was good enough for the automatics, but was let down by a bad start. And then when they got into the playoffs, I think everyone kind of thought Forest were the team. If you looked at it objectively, I think everyone realised that. I know me and Jack went on the record quite big and said we thought Huddersfield would do it because of their ability in one-off games to manage the occasion. Didn't quite work for them. And look, had a couple of decisions gone the other way, which they should have. They very much could have won that on the day. But I think everyone kind of saw the momentum of Forest. And, you know, it was a team of loanees in a lot of places, in quite important places, but had a couple of young starlets that clearly were destined for great things. And likes of Ryan Sessegnon, etc. So there is quite a lot of similarity to Fulham and Forest. And look, congratulations to them. A long time in the Championship, an awful long time in the Championship. And I think that their fan base 100% deserve it. And we're interested to see what happens next season. Let's look then at some Fulham news that's been happening in the past few weeks. And Peter, I think, maybe not the biggest shock, but certainly to me, the one that kind of made me double read my phone was the contract expiry news. And look, there's plenty of players on there that I don't think was a shock that Fulham let go. Michael Hector, Cyrus Christie, Fabbri, Alfie Mawson. But the one that I think not many of us saw coming was John McCalseri's contract being released. What is the news here? Is it a case that Fulham offered him a deal, but it wasn't high enough for John McCalseri? Or is it just a case of Fulham realising that maybe Seri hasn't got that much of a part to play in the Premier League, and maybe us Fulham fans are a little bit misty-eyed because of the redemption story?
Yeah, definitely the big shock, wasn't it? I think that's the one. After Ream and Cabano's futures were resolved, everyone was looking at, because Seri had an option on his contract, because Seri had come out and said he wanted to stay, I think, you know, considering how well loved he was. And as you say, the redemption story, it was seemed more like a shoe-in to see him extended. I think the thinking around Seri was that he is on a big wage, as everyone knows, and for the amount of game time he was likely to get next year would probably not reflect a salary of that magnitude. I think that's probably the simplest way to put it. I don't think it was ever a case of there's no way you can stay, but we wasn't able to stay on the terms I think that he probably wanted, and at least the terms he would have got if his contract would have been extended. So one that stings, I think, because of that relationship that he built up with supporters and the fact that he'd had such a good season and he had that redemption story and had played a really important role over the season, as we've talked about extensively. But it is also one that probably makes sense, depending, of course, on who comes in to replace him and the sort of way Fulham go in that sense. And it does look like, from what you hear, that you're looking at a more defensively solid player, more so than Seri may have been. You know, Seri's qualities are all on the ball. They're all technical, really. He is okay in a defensive sense, but, you know, you need someone in that position, or even two in that position, who can break play up, and that's going to be important for Fulham. So a difficult call, a really difficult one. And to be honest, when you even look through the list, like, I know most of them were expected, but the fact that both Mawson and Hector went, you know, Hector had an option on his contract, is also, you could say, surprising. I mean, for both of them, they probably want to get out. They want to play. They're not going to get that in the Premier League. If you're not getting in the Championship, you're certainly not likely to get it in the Premier League. And Fulham, you know, centre-half is a priority for Fulham this summer. So, again, it's a difficult one, but it does just leave the squad thin, I suppose, at this point. And you can see now what there is to build around. You can see who's there, but also the fact that there are spaces in that squad that will need filling.
I mean, Jack, my dad and I were saying yesterday that as much as Seri probably wasn't going to have a huge role next season, we can just imagine there'll be one or two games where we will say to each other, I feel like we could have done with John McCalseri in the centre today, maybe pulling a few strings and creating a few opportunities from deep. There'll be a few games where we go, oh, just a bit of quality in the middle today, and Fulham might have nicked a draw or got a win or held on or got another goal. I see it ultimately. Yeah, 65, 70k a week, whatever he was on, is a lot of money to play for a luxury player that might swan on for the last 20 minutes of a few games. But yeah, I think that losing that kind of quality is a blow. But, you know, we live in a world where you can't just pay stupid amounts of money for a bit of a luxury.
Yeah, I love John McCalseri, and I loved his redemption tale, and I've loved watching him this season, but I'm going to put out that I think this is the right decision. It just feels like you could invest those wages or reinvest those wages in a player that, one, Silva fully trusts. And I don't think since January, or I think at least since January, we've seen that isn't really the case, that he's not been trusted in games where Fulham have played against transitions. He's been brilliant in games where Fulham have teams penned in and he is able to find that pass over the top or that slide rule pass that puts someone in that can break a deadlock. I agree with you. I think there are going to be some games where it would be great to have John McCalseri, but worth 70k a week, probably not. And I think that it's kind of, you know, it's kind of the ruthless business that Fulham haven't done in recent years. We've seen players given extra, you know, years on the contract or allowed to sort of just sit and kind of, I wouldn't say rot, that's the wrong word, but, you know, sit and not be part of things when actually we could have done with those, you know, players in those places who actually the manager fully can be behind and knows that he knows he's getting exactly what he wants from. And so as much as this year has been incredible and as much as John Mikel Seri has been a joy to watch for long parts of this season, especially in the first half of the season, I think that if Silva doesn't fully trust him in that role, this is the right decision. And those wages can be reinvested. And I think they will be invested with a player with a higher defensive work rate, who is able to, you know, sit in at the base maybe and make things happen for them. Like you say, there will be a game. We'd be like, John Mikel Seri might have been able to get us a point here or to dig out a win from a draw. But I think if those wages are invested properly, they will bring in a player who's able to play every week and hopefully make a difference on a far more regular occasion for Fulham at the base of that midfield, in order that Fulham can be a side who can, you know, be defensively coherent, who aren't going to be torn apart in the break. And I think that that's an important moment for Fulham, because if that, you know, it feels like it's come from Silva, this. I'll be honest. It feels like it's one of those that he's gone, right, I think we can reinvest those wages rather than, you know, giving him a new contract. And if that's the case, then it's the, you know, right thing to do, because you're backing the manager's ability to bring in someone who he feels fits his own system better. And I think that's probably a net positive.
Yeah. Well, John Mikel Seri, it has been a pleasure.
Oh, we've all enjoyed it. It has been a pleasure. Yeah.
We've loved having you back this season. From the stands, I've watched with joy pretty much every time, apart from Sheffield United, that you've been on the pitch. And yeah, for you to crown it off with that goal in the Luton game, I think was the fitting end to the John Mikel Seri story at Fulham. Peter, it was a bit of a fire sale of 2018 recruits. Andre Frank Zambo Anguissa is gone. A £14.7 million move to Napoli. Obviously, he's been there on loan this season. He had an option. This is one that we expected. And just a bit like John Mikel Seri, although Seri eventually came good, another signing, another big expensive signing that did not deliver anywhere near what's been expected. And it's a cut price deal really for Napoli, isn't it? They've got a hell of a player for £15 million, which is not a lot.
No, I think when you consider the potential for Anguissa, you know, you can see him commanding a much, much bigger fee going forward. You know, you've got to be a good player to play the role he has in a Champions League qualifying team. So you're right. It has been a bit of a, I suppose, bonfire 2018-19 is probably a little harsh, but it has been, you know, almost a line drawn under that recruitment. And even when, and we'll talk about the ones that, you know, Fulham are open to receiving offers for, you're looking at players who were worth, in transfer fees, you know, almost £100 million worth of players, you know, and the returns aren't for that kind of investment probably what you'd expect at all. And Anguissa himself, you know, we saw glimpses in that Premier League season. We know he's a good player from his loan spells at Villarreal and Napoli. And maybe with Seri, you know, in different circumstances, they turn out to be good players, you know. Alfie Mawson, for example, you know, he's had so many injuries over that period. And you forget that when he signed, he was almost on the plane for the World Cup, but knee surgery did for him. You know, it's, there are a lot, sure there's what ifs, and this is where the process comes in. If you overhaul the squad like that late in a window, that's what can happen. But yeah, from a Fulham perspective, they've not delivered what I think that investment should have delivered for them. I mean, that's obvious. And It's a case now of building and trying not to avoid those same mistakes, really, because I mean fundamentally they are, aren't they, because of what they were brought in to do and what actually came about. And it's nice that Seri had that season. She could show his quality to fans. Didn't really work like that for Anguissa. I don't think fans have seen that quality apart from maybe Millwall away, as someone tweeted to me afterwards. At least we'll have Millwall away.
And Jack, the other story, Fabio Carvalho confirming his move to Liverpool, one that we fully expected as well. And yeah, Peter mentioned that the club are interested in receiving offers for Anthony Knockaert, Ivan Cavallero, Josh Onuma. I mean, it really does feel like a transitional summer. But as you say, this is possibly something that needed to be done a year or two ago and is finally getting round to it, and is probably just a show of faith in Marco Silva that he is the man that they entrust with such an important moment. But yeah, this summer is, it really is feeling vital. I guess also it's the after effects of us having a full summer to be able to overhaul a squad and not coming up via the playoffs and not having a tiny gap. This is what Fulham have been waiting to do, it seems like, for such a long time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when your time is limited, your ability to rebuild is limited, and Fulham's time is not limited this summer. And there's the added bonus of players not going away for a World Cup and therefore having more time to blend, to gel and trying to get deals over the line. Now, there's already some panic, it seems, that Fulham aren't, you know, announcing signings already. I think that while I can completely understand the apprehension, given what we've seen over the last couple of years in terms of late additions, it's very early still. What you want is players in by July. You know, I said this before, by July 1, you know, this is what you want. Players being able to come back for that full pre-season, giving them that month and a bit before the Premier League starts with Marco Silva. So, you know, if there's not any deals done by the start of July, by all means panic. But at the moment, I think you've got to give it a little bit of time just to let these things play out, let the season finish. You know, we've just seen the end of the playoffs. So we might be looking at people who didn't quite make it there in terms of, you know, the likes of Lewis O'Brien, who feels like he's ready for the Premier League. And imagine there's going to be plenty of, you know, clubs swooping around him, players in these teams who might be looking for a step up, who were nearly there this time round. You know, you'd be looking at the teams at Sheffield United, you'd be looking at the team at Huddersfield and thinking, right, is there anyone here that Fulham could maybe go and do a job on? So there's that things to consider. And I think that, you know, the next 2 weeks are going to be interesting to see how things start to develop. And I'd imagine that Fulham, when we move, will start to move in quite quick succession. There's also an element of, you know, how many of these, you know, getting these players who were here and are going to be cleared out, let's kind of clear the decks before you start to bring players in. So I think we're kind of in that transition period, as you say, trying to make things work. It's going to be very interesting to see how these next couple of weeks play out. I wouldn't panic just yet, would be my kind of advice, but I think I can completely understand the apprehension given what we've seen before. But yeah, I think it's good that Silva's been given the kind of keys the castle here in some ways, in that he's able to be part of this process. I think he should be a key part of this process. Not all of it. We've seen managers make decisions before that haven't worked out, and that's not, you know, to say that they can never work out, but there's often, and you know, the structures at clubs that are run really well, it's working together, you know, getting the manager and the people who are in the analytics departments and the board level, finance level elements of it all together working and singing off the same hymn sheet. So I think that, yeah, as you say, these next couple of weeks crucial, and we will, you know, be keenly watching to see what happens.
And Peter, I guess maybe one reason that fans might be panicking a little bit, I mean, I don't think anyone's fully having a meltdown, but I think I've seen a few tweets going, what's happening? And I think a big reason behind that will be Manor Solomon. This looks like a done deal about a month or so ago.
Here we go confirmed, Sammy. Here we go confirmed.
And certain people are now saying that the deal might be off. I noticed, Peter, that you haven't necessarily said that, or you haven't necessarily heard that it's 100% off, like certain people, mostly Fabrizio Romano, let's be honest, is saying. So what do you know at the moment, which I imagine it's not much, but yeah, what is the latest as far as you've heard with that deal?
They're still talking. There's no denying, and you can see it from the reports, that it's not going as smoothly, I think, as everyone anticipated, that it would just walk through. So there's no guarantee that it will go through, sort of my sort of take on it at the moment. I think last week there was, Solomon was being sort of sounded out to other clubs. So yeah, but as far as I'm concerned, they're still talking and I wouldn't write it off. But yeah, not clear is how I would describe it. And there's going to be a lot of that in the coming weeks. And I'm careful not to say too much. I think I've responded to someone the other week when the first sort of instances of trouble were emerging and reports were coming out. You know, it can be difficult, and it can be difficult to absolutely verify stuff. So, as far as I see it, it's how I said, they're still talking, but that it doesn't look as clear cut that it will happen as it did a few weeks ago.
I was a little bit surprised, Jack, that it was seemingly so confirmed. I was thinking the season's not over. This is a highly rated young player that was coveted by many clubs in Europe. And I felt it a little bit odd that he was kind of pinning his colours to the mast so early with Fulham. I don't know. I remember thinking, well, it seems a bit odd, but like, great. I didn't question it, but I just feel like these things happen. If he's a highly coveted player, his agent's obviously going to go, not going to just cash his chips on the first club that comes along just because we got promoted a bit earlier than everyone else.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, you have to bear in mind that with all of these things, most of the people who haven't got a vested interest in a deal going through are, you know, not out for themselves. That's the, you know, the wrong phrase. That's not it at all. But, you know, the agent feeding information to, you know, a transfer reporter is usually trying to get something out of it. Now, whether that's to hurry the deal along, hurry a club into action, to try and alert other clubs to interest, et cetera, all of these things happen in this world. And it's a really murky environment. I think it's worth pointing this out that, you know, whilst someone like Fabrizio has got lots of things right in the past, and he often gets things right, his knowledge of Italian football is second to none, and his knowledge of the Italian market is second to none. There are elements of these things that change. And ultimately, if agents are feeding people information, and, you know, I talk about this with Dean quite a lot because he does this for us, for Ranks, you know, that the agents are often telling you things in order to achieve something. It's not always for the benefit of, oh, this knowledge is good to have in the public domain. You know, it's just working on different things to help moves either shuffle along to the club in question or to raise a fee, or, you know, lots of different elements to these things. And therefore, you know, all reports until they come from the club are murky to an extent. And so it's worth keeping an eye on just, you know, the things that happen. And, you know, Fabrizio, for all his things, has had a bad track record with Fulham. He said that Marlon was done a couple of, you know, years ago. It's never really reported on any of the transfers that have kind of happened, you know, from a Fulham perspective, until they're kind of common knowledge. So, you know, just, I think the thing is with the transfer market is it's hard not to get excited. And I've spent weeks looking at graphs of Manus Solomon and comparing him to other wingers, and spent loads of time looking at Al-Masrati, who's linked for us from Braga, who I really like as a defensive midfielder, and kind of hoping that one's going to go through because I think he's the kind of profile that Fulham should be targeting. But equally, until they're signed, sealed and delivered, there's an element of, yes, you should look at the rumours because rumours do tend to come from somewhere. And you do try to understand the best as we can of what's going on. And, you know, as we've always said, you know, here in Fulhamish, we try and report things that we feel like have some substantiated fact behind them. We'll check them across, you know, various sources and try and work out as best we can what's happening. But there's always an element of transfers collapsing. There's always an element of clubs will be looking at various players. Players will be looking at various clubs. It's never kind of done till it's done. And that makes this window, it's part of what makes the window so exciting, but it's also part of what makes it quite frustrating for fans at the same time.
Yeah. Well, one of the best places to keep up to date with all the transfer news and activity, A, Peter Rutz's Twitter feed, but B, The Athletic. If you sign up, you can get it for £1 a month. Great value in order to keep you up to date with all the transfers incoming, the kind of rumours that matter, by going to theathletic.com/Fulham Pod. And Peter will be reporting throughout the summer on all the transfer rumours that matter. And there's going to be a lot of them. What's your list on now, Peter? It was 32 last time.
I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to say my list is now over 50. Those are silly numbers, but it does reflect what Jack was saying. There are a lot of different actors who have different interests in the transfer market, and that's the nature of the beast. And you're going to get things wrong. You might get things right, but you always have to treat it, as Jack says, you can't have to treat everything as speculation. You know, it's some will be better connected in some areas and at some clubs, and others will be better in other positions, and you see that over time. But it is very difficult when someone tells you one thing and you have to be checking it as much as you can. But at the same time, everyone wants to read rumours. So it's very, it is difficult. And especially for a team like Fulham at this point, where there are lots of positions they're looking at. We talked about them, centre half, centre midfield, a winger like Solomon. That it becomes easier to link a player to Fulham. But at the same time, they also have a lot of targets. Like, they have a lot of targets on their list. So you could name a player who could well be someone that they've sort of sounded out or inquired about, but they may not be a priority. And suddenly another player becomes available because the season's ended, or a situation on another transfer changes. So there are loads of different things that can happen. And sometimes you'll report something, it's just me speaking as a reporter, and you do it in best faith because you've checked it and you believe it to be true. And then things change behind the scenes and may make you look stupid. But that's the nature of the beast, I suppose. But yeah, 50 already. I would not be surprised if it gets to 100. Obviously, I'll do a piece when it's done and I can list all of them. But yeah, it's silly numbers.
I love that you're keeping your tabs on it. I'm really hoping it gets to like 200. It's just like paid. He needs to start a second spreadsheet or something like that, like a new tab.
You have to do that, right? You have to be linked with, you have to be interested in loads of players. They're going to be, it's a bit, this is probably not a great analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's a bit like applying for jobs, right? I apply for loads of jobs that I'm well underqualified for before I'd started a Bleacher Report. I was applying for like head of BBC Sport.
Director General.
But if you don't chuck your name in the ring, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you never exactly. know. So there's always going to be links to players, you know, one who Fulham are like, look, we should definitely be involved in the conversation with this player, because if it becomes a possibility, things can happen where you pick up a player and everyone's like, wow, how did that happen? So it's kind of one of those where you have to be looking at everyone. And to be honest, you're only going to sign, what, 3% of anyone you're kind of interested in, because there's loads of clubs and loads of clubs want good players. And so therefore, there's always going to be loads and loads of players that Fulham are linked to who have, you know, lots of these come from, I know lots of these come from scout reports, right? Fulham have had a scout going to watch X, Y, or Z, which means that they're interested conceptually in a player. Now that scout report might come back and they'll be like, don't sign this bloke. But all we know is that the scout was there to watch the player. And therefore, there is interest in inverted commas because Fulham have scouted a player. And therefore, you know, you get to these points where loads and loads of these people on these lists are going to have been put through either the analytics machine or the eyes of the scouts, or, you know, most probably both if there's serious interest. And a lot of them will come up short in one department or the other. And that does mean that occasionally, you know, links happen and you're like, Fulham will be like, oh, you're never interested in that player. Like, okay, you were because you went to see him. But you might not have been interested in a sense that was like, oh, a inquiry was made even before a bid to see if there was any availability for said player. So yeah, it's just, it's fun, silly season in many ways. And then it's not fun in others. So you know, try and I think probably the best advice I could give is try and remain relatively level-headed, because it's all really exciting to get involved. You know, it's really great when Fulham are linked with Sergej Milinkovic-Savic because his agent is the same as Aleksandar Mitrovic is. And you know what? Fulham probably are interested in Sergej Milinkovic-Savic because he's well good and his possibility he's on the market this summer. And if he is, then you've got to chuck your hat in the ring. But whether he'd come or not is a separate issue. And that's kind of where I land on it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take a break there. Afterwards, we're going to discuss Marcus Silva. This is an advertisement for BetterHelp, a portal for finding online therapy. How's your social battery right now? If you feel a bit drained or lacking enthusiasm to meet all the social commitments in your life, then that can be a totally normal thing, especially with things picking up as we head out of winter. I know that pretty frequently a weekend just doing a few chores and watching the football was about the limit of my energy resources. But therapy can be a place to help you gain the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your batteries. Contrary to popular belief, therapy isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. The overall goal is to empower you to be the best version of yourself. And if therapy is something you've considered, then why not give BetterHelp a try? BetterHelp is entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. They'll match you with a UK mental health professional with a wide variety of expertise. There's no referral needed, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge, giving you complete control over the whole experience. Fulhamish listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/fulhamish. That's betterhelp.com/fulhamish.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Part two of the Fulhamish podcast. Sammy James here with Jack Collins.
Hello, listeners.
And Peter Rutzler.
Hello.
Peter, you chatted to Marco Silva, you and Jack Pitbrook, an exclusive interview with the gaffer. And his big thing is that he has said change is on the way if Fulham are to stay up.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed sitting down with him, with Jack in that kind of environment.
Where did you meet? Was it on Zoom? Was it...
No, Motspur Park in person.
Oh, nice.
Done a few in-person presses this year, so it's been quite nice. You get so much more out of it in person than you do over Zoom. It's a different dynamic in terms of how you can ask questions and it's a conversation more than a more formulaic thing. Very interesting. Obviously, as you said, mentioned about needing to learn from mistakes of the past. If they're to get things right. But he also talked about the process of joining Fulham, what he's sort of learnt about himself, what's changed, you know, particularly, say, for example, with Everton, there was a perception he didn't have the best sort of relationship with supporters. Hasn't really been the case with that at Fulham. Does he see how he's changed? He said he doesn't really think he's changed that much. There was some good info on how he took the job. You know, he had his bags packed ready to go to Fenerbahce before Shahid Khan called. And met him in Cash Cash in Lisbon on Kismet, his yacht.
I enjoyed that little bit. I imagine going on Shahid Khan's yacht.
Yeah.
Must be the nuts.
Yeah, I'm not a boatman myself, but I'm sure it's a good one.
I imagine you could be if that was the boat that you get to go on. I'm just imagining the scene out of Wolf of Wall Street where they see Jordan Belfort's yacht and imagining Shahid's was similar.
Yeah, well, maybe.
That's your next exclusive, please. Next, I want a full tour.
From the yacht, the tour of the yacht, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
It's what the people want, moored outside the Riverside stand. He talked about that. He talked about the summer. He talked about his relationship with Mitrovic as well. He said that he tried to sign him at Watford and Olympiacos, which I didn't know before. It seemed like he was in a good place. He seemed quite relaxed at that point. I think it's clear that there's work he wants Fulham need to do in the summer, and he's well aware of the challenge ahead. You know, he talked a bit again about his playing style and how he doesn't really want to compromise too much on that, but recognises that you'll have to be pragmatic because it's the Premier League and it's bloody tough. It was a good conversation to have, and especially, you know, off the back of winning the league and being able to talk about that and himself, because this is his fourth Premier League club he'll have had now. So what does, I think as Jack put it on Twitter, what does Marco sort of 4.0 look like? And you do sort of get that impression.
Yeah, Jack, obviously fascinating to hear from Marco what we expected might be on the cards, a transition in playing style. I think that none of us are expecting him to do a Slavisa where he kind of wanted to stick to the principles. I think we are in the makings here of a very different looking Fulham side next year in all facets, not just personnel, but also tactics.
Yeah, I think, look, I've said this numerous times, but the kind of key point with going up to the Premier League here is being able to adapt, right? We can see from Norwich that the winning the championship at a canter does not guarantee you Premier League survival. It helps, I think. And you look at the teams who have won the league in the last couple of years and seeing the kind of relationship between that and staying up, I think it's a bonus, but it's not the be-all and end-all. The be-all and end-all is learning how to adapt your style to the Premier League and therefore being able to cope with the different demands and rigors that such a season entails, right? And yes, you can stick to the basic principles of Fulham want to attack, we'll want to spread the pitch when we have the ball and shut it down when we don't. There's just going to be a bit more shutting down than spreading out, as there was, you know, whereas this year there was more spreading out than shutting down. And when you look at that in kind of the context, it goes back to, you know, what we were saying about John Mikel Seri right at the start. Yeah, in that there are more games for John Mikel Seri to come on and try and pick a lock, or try and pick a lock from the start, because we knew we were going to be penning teams into their own third time and time and time again, than there is next year. And the fact that Silva has obviously had some input in what's happened here suggests that he's already alert to the different demands that the Premier League is going to give them what the Championship is going to give. And look, bear in mind that Marco Silva has been a Premier League manager before. The last two times we've been promoted, Slavisa Jokanovic obviously had, you know, had his moments, but it was basically new ground. And then you look at Scott Park and it was fully new ground. And then, yeah, obviously Fulham have brought in managers halfway through the season. Obviously there are different elements of this, but this is the first time Fulham are going back into the Premier League with a manager who has managed there on a, you know, for a considerable amount of time. And I think that's important because it's not going to be new ground for everyone. And that ability and what we hope is going to be a slight tweak rather than a full-on revolution in terms of Fulham's style. And I think we saw parts of what he was trying to do with this, with the pivots he was playing in the Championship to try and get used to the idea of playing with a different sort of, okay, we can't just play with, you know, Fulham at points last year were playing with Seri and Kearney at the base, right? It's brilliant and it's great fun, but it's not a way that Fulham are going to be playing in the Premier League because it's not defensively cohesive enough. And I think that, you know, we're seeing these pivots that were often Chalobah and Reed. And we're going, right, it's very kind of conservative in many ways for what Fulham were looking at. But I think it was trying to move into a system where Fulham were able to attack mostly with the front four and be able to, well, maybe, and the fullbacks potentially pushing on a little bit, but giving themselves that kind of solid core in the middle to try and learn a differing style that might be of use next year. I think we've already seen him try and start this. Now, obviously, the personnel might be different. And, a lot of us think it will be. But I think that kind of concept of what it's going to be is already starting to take shape in Silva's head. And that I think is a good thing and something that probably bodes well for Fulham tweaking the style for a campaign that's going to be very different to the one we've just had.
Yeah, and congrats to Marco, by the way. He won the LMA Championship Manager of the Season. He got a nice big trophy, I saw for that one, a nice awards due. So congratulations to Marco. I think it was the correct choice. Obviously, I know he didn't get the EFL Manager of the Season. That went to Nathan Jones, who's done his own spectacular job in a very different way. But I think it's good for Marco to get some recognition because his team was the best in the Championship and it was not just a foregone conclusion that Fulham were going to win the league and score 106 goals. Peter, one thing I did quite like about this piece was Marco saying about how he's watched the tapes of the last two times Fulham got relegated. That must be a harrowing afternoon sit down. But I guess necessary for the job. I was thinking, gosh, it's not all glamour at the top, is it?
Yeah, certain things you probably don't want to be doing too many times. So he's done it now. He's ticked it off. I mean, probably, you know, gets the shared experience, knows what everyone's gone through. So, yeah, can only put you in a good place, I suppose.
I don't. That was a straight to DVD one, wasn't it? Those. I don't think I saw those in the club shop. Fulham's 9 home goals from 2019-20. I don't think sold terribly well. Right, we'll take another break there, and afterwards we're going to round off. This will catch on for the season. Part three of the Fulhamish podcast. Sammy James here with Jack Collins and Peter Rutzler. And it is time for the long-awaited chart of This'll Catch On, the stupid feature that Peter hates and Jack sometimes hates that we started earlier in the season, where you guys send in your chart suggestions and we rate them or slate them.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, that's unfair on Peter.
That's slander, that is.
I think I've given more negative reaction than Peter has this year, so I actually will stand by him on this one. I don't feel like Peter has at any point suggested that he hates This All Catch
It's on. Sometimes what Peter doesn't say rather than what he does say.
Yeah, no, true. Okay.
But anyway, there have been some belters this year. So I spent my Sunday evening going through the list of all of This'll Catch On's from this season. I drew together a short list of 10, which I then stuck in the Fulhamish community in the Telegram group. And people voted as to which ones were their favourites of the year. Now, in the Telegram group, there were a couple of omissions from the shortlist that people were quite upset about. Fabry, Fulham's third choice keeper, didn't even make the shortlist, which, I mean, was just a complete oversight from me, in fairness. Is this the way to Amarillo for Chalabar? I did consider, purely to wind up Jack, but I was thinking, I mean, the point that we played it so much and loved it was because it was bad. So I didn't feel
like... It did improve.
It did improve, but he still had that
credit
line.
Credit where it's due.
So that was it. So the five that didn't make the top five were Bobby Decker, Dover, Reed, Smooth Criminal, which I thought was good. Which I think is a shame that that didn't get more love, because that was a very, very well done This Will Catch On. The James Bond theme got a very low score. The Fulham's 007, I think that's an absolute...
I never want to hear that again, so I'm really glad.
I thought that was a stone cold stunner, but anyway, that didn't make the top five. Tosin's Sugar Sugar... for Tosin Adarabioyo also didn't quite make the top five, but it did make the shortlist. Niskin's Cabano, Tainted Love, which you might remember was the most relaxed song that got very unexpectedly sweary towards the end.
Mad Man Like Me suggested a song for us. I really loved that.
And then Love Tim Ream, The Lovely Day, just missed out. I mean, like one vote out. Missed out. So that was in six. So we have a top five and we'll play with them for you now. The first one is for Jared Griffiths, A Horse With No Name, yes. By America for Nathaniel Chalabar. So well done, Jared. You've made the top five.
He's set in the middle and he'll cause you some pain. In fact, he'll play you right out of the game. The announcers we'll probably butcher his name, so we'll sing it loud now just to save them some pain. Chalaba, 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 chalaba.
Right, so obviously, Sammy, this was played at the live event.
Yeah.
Which was great, but actually because everyone was just singing along, I never noticed that the chorus doesn't really work.
What?
Yeah, like, as in like, just it's just the syllables are out, aren't they? No. The syllable release is taking one last. No, don't get me wrong. This is still class, but surely it'd just be like, cha-la-ba, ba, da, 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 cha-la-ba,
ah. There should be like, cha-la-ba, la, 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 la.
Yeah.
Surely.
Rather than there's just like the ba in the middle of it is too long.
But, you know, let the people will fix that.
Yeah, the people will fix that. That's the kind of thing that will just get swallowed up by the crowd. Yeah, I love this. I've got to give it props. But because everyone was obviously singing along to it at the live event, everyone was like, excellent, this is great.
Yeah. As you say, the people fixed it for
him. The people fixed it for you. So excellent. Well done, everybody.
Well done, Jared. Right, the next one. This was a quite recent one that we played. Ben Stupples and the Mitrovic Sea Shanty made fourth place in the This'll Catch On of the season.
I'm going to take my headphones out because it doesn't leave your head when...
Yeah, right. Peter particularly loved this one. It didn't leave his head, so here we go.
Hello, Once was a man called Mitrovic. He made the championship his bitch. He plays for Fulham FFC on the banks of the River Thames. Alexander Mitrovic, he scored the most goals in the championship. All hail Mitrovic, Fulham's number nine. He scored with his left and he scored with his right, and he made the championship look shite. He plays for Fulham FFC, the pride of London town. Alexander Mitrovic, he just destroyed the championship. All hail Mitrovic, 43 goal hero.
Just class. Just class. Unbelievable tune.
Well done, Ben. It's the voice that gets me. He's born for singing sea shanties.
Yeah.
For singing sea shanties.
Fisherman's friend asking for a new lad, new person to join the club.
Get yourself down to Port Isaac, Ben, and join the Fisherman's Friends. They need a new recruit because it's absolutely wonderful. And bring them all a Fulham shirt with Mitrovic on the back while you're at it. Absolutely astonishing. Right, the top three. I think we all know where these ones might be going. Number three in third place. I think this is controversial because I thought this could have even won it. But Ishan Mahabir, We Dream of Ream. The Les Mis remake. We all loved it at the time, and it's still amazing. Even Tim Ream found out about this one on Twitter, and I think he enjoyed it. I wasn't 100% sure, but I think he just thought...
You're projecting there.
Interesting.
I think he just couldn't understand that why a podcast was singing a song to Les Mis. I think he was all just a bit freaked out by it. But anyway, here it is again. Ishan, it's a classic.
We dream of Ream, oh what a guy. He's gonna bring us all the glory. We dream of Ream and it's alright. We kind of like you're from Missouri.
I find myself singing this all the time.
You're 34, still going strong. You are the pride of Fulham fandom. We know Fulham's where you belong.
The best line ever coming up.
So I guess we'll overlook the man bun.
We never got that chorus, did we?
Yeah, we never got the chorus. I really, really wanted it to explode into the full chorus. but we did get a meme of Tim Ream singing it on a bus in a Jesus outfit for our own AF at one point. So everyone's happy, really, I think, at this point.
Did we ever I don't think we ever put that out, did we?
Did we not? We never released it. Maybe we'll put it out there with this.
That was just a private one for the Fulhamish WhatsApp that Adam made Tim Ream looking like Jesus off the top of a red top bus.
The bus parade
that never happened. But we'll put that into the ether at some point. Well done, Ishan. It was a great moment in the season.
It was probably the first that really, like, everyone was like, what on earth is going on here? And I think that was the moment that really exploded. This will catch on into life.
For me, number two is the moment where I think this will catch on. Came from just some stupid feature to one that really captured the imagination. The amount of people that submitted one after this one, I think, launched this will catch on properly. Justin Miller, number two. Mitro in open space. I will never forget opening this email thinking, if this is what I think it could be, then we might be on to the best thing of all time. Justin, just amazing. A deserved number two.
Harry Wilson comes down the right. Your defender's not by his side. He's got a target set in his sight. Now the cross comes flying by. He found Mitro in open space. He found Mitro in open space. He found Mitro in open space. He found Mitro in open space.
Elite.
Sensational.
That has been in my head for 6 months.
It'd be even better if we signed Matt Target. we can somehow like shoehorn them into the same line. It's going to be even better. So I'm excited about that. Great vibes.
A deserved number two for Justin. Brilliant, Justin. Well done. Look, the number one could only be one, but this was voted by the audience. It wasn't chosen by us, but Andrew Lappin and mates on the bus back from Reading to Reading Station, history was made.
And again, are we not playing the actual version of it? Are we not playing Maurice's version of it? Like fuming.
Hang on. I'll be there somewhere. Right, I've got it.
Because whilst Andrew and his friends may well have come up with this, I think there's an element of you can be like, you know, one thing was like, Johan Cruyff invented total football, but Pep Guardiola perfected it, right? Andrew and his friends have come up with this song, but Marisa perfected it. So I want to hear it.
Harry Wilson, Mitrovic and these games, playing black and white, scoring goals all night, make the Premier League look shite.
It's just glorious. Like, it's just absolutely glorious. Like, it's the best thing we've received this year. It is my number one. It's my king from this day to the last day. It's just unbelievable. Marisa, you have won my heart, and two, you saved this for me. Saved this entire segment for me. So thank you so much, frankly.
Yeah, thank you. And look, the moment where we heard that chant, I mean, whether it would have caught on without us, maybe, I don't know, probably. But you almost know, we were on it. We were on it. And when I heard it at Stoke away, and I was watching on the telly, and I heard the faint whisper of Harry Wilson, Mitrovic and Neeskens on the telly, was a proud moment. I'm sure it was a proud moment for Andrew as well. So well done for coming up with it, and yeah, for winning This Will Catch On for 21-22. Peter, what are your thoughts on the final five?
Yeah, I can't really argue with it, to be honest. All of them excellent candidates. Agree with Jack. I'm glad we got the best version of Harry Wilson, Mitrovic and Neeskens played for the masses. All in all, very content. Very content, Sammy.
Do you want to keep it for next season, or is it in the bin?
Well, let's see how long it lasts next season. Let's just hope that it will feel like the right vibes. Otherwise, we'll end up with, you know, a bit of athlete coming through and stuff like that.
Athlete. Yeah.
We got wires going in.
Yeah. Oh, bloody hell. Anyway, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun doing This Will Catch On this year. We've really, really enjoyed it. Some more than others. And there's been some dark times, but there's been some good times as well. But it would be nothing without
like supporting
you.
Fulham, really.
Yeah. Send them in over the summer. I'll try and collate them. Pre-season will probably still be good enough vibes for us to do some This Will Catch Ons. But yeah, when we lose our first three games by 4-0, maybe This Will Catch On might have to silently be dropped. But
keep
anyway,
the faith, Sammy. Keep the faith.
Let's hope. Let's hope it's a glorious season back in the Premier League. And thank you so much for listening this year. Honestly, it means the world to us that Fulhamish continues to reach as many people as it does every single week. We absolutely love you for doing it. Thank you for supporting us if you're part of the Telegram community. Thank you for subscribing to The Athletic as well, if you do. I'm sure Peter very much appreciates all of you guys.
I do.
Comment regularly and read The Athletic and get involved there as well. So last thing to do, though, is to thank my two wonderful guests who have accompanied me throughout the season on the Thursday Club, Jack Collins.
Thank you, Sammy. Thank you, Peter. It's been a delight. This remains a highlight of my week every week. So thank you for a wonderful season. It's been lots of fun.
And Peter Rutzler, thank you.
No, thank you, Sammy. Thank you very much for putting up with me. As Jack said, it's a real highlight. And I feel like I'm getting better at the podcasting, Lark.
Oh, you're very good, Peter.
You're natural, mate.
Absolute natural. I saw you on the Athletic football show the other day doing the awards, and he's a bit broadcasting king now. This guy's unstoppable.
Remember us at the top, mate. Remember us at the top.
Thank you very much for listening. Have a lovely summer. I imagine it'll be a few weeks until we're back, but we will come back, of course, if anything major happens. If not, it'll probably be end of June, early July. But until then, have a lovely summer and come on, you whites.
You whites.